Okay, we're going to look at communication with God this morning again. And before we do that, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the people of God. We thank you that we are in the family of God, and we thank you that we can meet together in peace. And we'd ask that that continue in our country, that we be allowed to meet in peace, because we want to always meet, whether it is in peace or not. But we thank you for your word, and we look in anticipation as we look into your word, seeing what you have for us. Amen. We've been looking at the prayer, and remember, although we're looking at each aspect or types of prayer or kinds of communication to God, remember, they're not, even though we talk about them separately, you're going to see today there's a blend between thanksgiving and praise. And I do not want you to, like an academic, just think, well, now I'm worshiping, now I'm... No, I want it to be spontaneous, like you're talking to your father, the way you would talk to your human father, only more formal and more correctly, but in certainly a conversational way. And I think that a lot of, and I gave you an... Have you ever heard of Robert G. Lee? I heard him speak. You know, he gave that sermon, Payday Someday, over 5,000 times. I heard him do, and I used him as an example of an orator. But when you get done, what do you got? And that's what a lot of prayers are. People have great orator skills, but when you get done, was it a conversation with their Heavenly Father? And that's what it should be. So we don't have to use... all the cliches and high nomenclature, that's not, or special nomenclature, but what we're doing is looking for how God wants us to communicate. And remember, in the fourth chapter of John, it does say that he seeks, and that's an adoration or worship. So this is something God wants us to do, and it's something that... as we get going, I hope we've developed and continue to develop. It allows us to be in partnership with God, and it allows us to think the thoughts that God wants us to do. So we came up with, contrary to the placard, that prayer changes the believer, because you're not going to change God's mind. Sorry, but that ain't happening. I don't care what the little placard says, but you will be changed by communicating to your father. For one thing, when you communicate to your father, just off the top of my head, what are you doing? You're acknowledging he's your spiritual father. You're acknowledging that he's in charge. And if you do it with the right attitude, not informality, you're acknowledging that your fealty and your loyalty belongs to him. So just that brings the human in the proper perspective. Remember, God doesn't have to clean up his act. God doesn't have to do better. God doesn't have to be enabled. We do. And so that's what it's about. If you turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we're going to look at praise today. In case I forget to mention it, the term psalm, and we're not going to trace this today because we have other things to do, but the term psalm primarily came to mean, in the New Testament, the idea of praise. So when you think of psalms, I know everybody thinks of singing, but when you think of psalm, But when you think of psalms, almost every quote of the psalm says this. This psalm says this. This psalm says that. It doesn't say this psalm sings this. And so the psalms are primarily praise, and hymn is primarily, and these were secular music at times, they didn't have to be, is primarily worship. But today we're going to look at praise, and we're going to get most of what we do out of the New Testament. We're over in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and we have to correct this verse. If you have a King James down there where it says giving thanks, we're going to correct those two words and make them confess or agree with or say the same thing of. So I'm in Hebrews 13 verse 15. By him, therefore, now the by him goes back to Jesus, verse 12, and Christ. And in the book of Hebrews, whenever you see the Son of God mentioned by name Christ, Jesus, or Son of God, always remember is the fourth and fifth chapters where he's the heavenly high priest. So there you have one person of the Godhead, it would be Christ, the second word, him. You're going to see a second person of Godhead as we keep going. By Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, consisting of praise to the God. Obviously, you have two persons. The God there would be God the Father, continually. That is. Now, in the King James, it says that is. This is would be more accurate. This is the, now, that is, or this is, goes back to praise, is the fruit of our lips confessing, not giving thanks, to his name. So we want to be real clear, although there's not a great delineation and fine, there's a fine line between giving thanks, and the translators in the King James didn't pick up on it, and praise. There are actually two different things, although one is a bigger term than the other, and we'll be seeing that. So I want to talk about the word praise here in this 15th verse. It has an ending that has the idea of action. And so when we go to this verse, we're going to get the definition of what praise is. And here it's a partial definition here, and we're going to see several other uses of this term, and in those other places where it's used, we'll see an additional thing. But in this verse, you can see that praise has the idea of it says here two things. It says confessing his name. Now, there's a packed word. Confessing has the idea of agree with or say the same thing as. And then his name has the idea of his character and quality, which would be his attributes. Hence, this church offers a free copy of the Doctrine of God if you don't know his attributes. And let me just say something about the Doctrine of God. I have to review that all the time. I don't know if... And I get something richer out of it every time. So you can never learn too much about about the quality of God, would be a better term. So here, praise then has a connection to God's character. Now we're going to see in several other verses that it also is the result of a benefit. So we can put all these contexts together and say that praise is thanking God in lieu for benefit in lieu or in reference to his character. What does that mean? Okay, let's just do one little example. If I was going to thank God for my salvation, it would be thanksgiving if I just said thanks for my salvation. Now, if I said, thanks for your love and grace that gave me my salvation, that would be praise. Do you see the difference? So praise is not just thanksgiving. It's adding it and attributing it to some of God's character, or part of God's character. Human language, as we were discussing before we met, you can't completely explain it. And you certainly can't do it all at once. But if I say, thank you, Lord, for saving me as a result of your love and your grace and mercy, we have all of those in Titus 3:5, then that becomes praise. And so we're going to look at that in some of the verses we're going to look at. Now, I want to say again, it's different than thanksgiving. They're two different words. But thanksgiving is a part of praise. So praise is a bigger term, which includes thanksgiving. And this is where I get kind of, maybe it's my limited mental ability. But when I see charts with these lines between stuff and boxes, and to me, they kind of, some of them kind of overlap, and that's what I'm trying to put into human language. But we should be aware of it. Now, we're going to come back to Hebrews 13:15 again, but first, let's go to Luke, the second chapter, and let's see how praise is done when it's described by Scripture, and we can see, we have some vignettes that we can see here. This, you're familiar with Luke, the second chapter. This is when the shepherds have heard about baby Jesus being born. I should mention that in verse 9 of Luke 2, you have glory used to mean light. And then when we get to verse 14, it has to do with majesty or tied to his omnipotence. So there's a difference here. But in verse 13, the shepherds, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. When you see the word host in the New King James, think army. A multitude of heavenly army praising God. Now, they praise God by saying, and here you have in verse 14, when we translate it correctly, it is praise. Glory or majesty, and that would tie to God's omnipotence, that he has the ability to do anything. He's all powerful. Glory to God in the highest. Highest would have to do with his, the fact that there's none like God. So you see that it's, God's character is mentioned here on earth. And then on the last part of the verse, it should say, and on earth, peace to men of goodwill. It doesn't say that the whole earth is going to be good and peaceful. It just said men of goodwill will have peace. And it's obviously talking about spiritual peace, not as is wont to do on Christmas, talk about peace on earth. This is the peace that comes from God. Jesus in the upper room says, a peace I give to you, not the peace of the world. And so it's not a physical peace. So here what we're saying in verse 14, you have the definition in action where they attribute the omnipotence of God, his all power of God, his majesty, his rule, and then the fact that something had happened. And so that is called praise. Look down at the 20th verse. And the shepherds returning, glorifying and praising God. Now, it's tied to something. For all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. So it's tied to a benefit that they have. So here we have two elements of praise. One of which is there's a benefit to the, and we're going to talk about New Testament believers. These weren't. This is before the New Testament. And so it's tied to a New Testament believer's benefit that comes from God, and it's attributed to some or part of God's character, or articulated to God's character. If you'll turn over to Acts, the third chapter, now we'll get into the New Testament, see how this word is used. Acts, the third chapter. You know, before we do that, keep your finger in Acts, the third chapter, and go back with me to John 16, because you're going to see how these interact in just a second, or just a minute. John 16, and we want to look at verse 23. Let's look at 24 first. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. So this is a new deal. Meaning, before the upper room, nobody had asked in the name of Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 23. And in that day, anticipating Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit's comes, you shall not ask as an equal anything. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you should ask as a subordinate. There's two different words. Equal would be equal in rank, and the second word for ask here is a subordinate, usually used as a child to a parent. Apropos to this situation, whosoever shall ask the Father in my name, he, the Father, will give to you. Now, if you go over to the third chapter of Acts, there's this guy that is a lame. He apparently has a problem walking back in verse 2. And in verse the last part of verse 6, Peter says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk, rise up and walk. So this lame guy that couldn't walk gets healed. Now remember what Jesus had told Peter in the upper room. Whatever you ask in my name. Now also remember that when you see the word name, doesn't mean, Lord, give me a winning ticket for the lottery in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. That isn't what it's talking about. The word name has the idea in the character and quality of Christ. If he were there, how he would want you to pray. Now that brings us down to verse 8. And he, the lame man, leaped up, that's the miracle, and stood and walked, and there's a double miracle there. Not only was he healed, but he could walk. I don't know about you, but when you, well, obviously his legs had atrophied and he couldn't walk. Okay, and leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising the God. This is to God the Father. It's very specific here. So it's in the name of Jesus to God the Father. And if you'll see here that he was praising because he had the benefit. What was the benefit? The benefit was that he got healed. And what is the attribute of God? That he had the power through or the intermediate agency of Jesus Christ to heal him. Remember the verse back in the 16th chapter. In the Christ's name and the Father will do it. So he's praising God for healing him. Meaning he's attributing the power to do that to God the Father. And all the people that saw the lame man get walking and praising God, praising the God. There's an article there. It's very specific to God the Father. One more, and then, oh no, that'll do it. Now let's go to Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter and the 11th verse. And here we're going to see that praise is given through Jesus Christ. So if you were to sing the song, praise him, praise him, praise him, what I'm suggesting to you based on scripture, the hymn there is God the Father. And that's a hymn with a H-I, not a H-Y. Okay, that the hymn there, praise him, is God the Father. Here's a specific verse, although the others that I've already read to you are consistent with it. You're going to need one word. In the original language, there's a dia, which means through, and they translated it by, but even in English, you should be able to see this. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruit, single fruit, consisting of righteousness. So there's activity. We'll get back to this. It's an activity. It's not, it's in the lifestyle. We'll talk about that later. Now, which goes back to the fruit, which fruit is, would be better because it's singular, through Jesus Christ. Now, unto, it has the idea of toward, the honor or glory. Glory here has the idea of honor or and praise regarding God. So you have, again, a verse where Christ is the intermediate agent to praise that goes to God the Father. And here you also have that activity can be praised, and we'll be speaking about that a little bit more later. Now, if you turn back to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, I should have told you to stick a marker there because we're going to be back there again. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, there's another concept we want to pick up about praise. And it's one little word there that I didn't comment on when I read it. And it's in the middle. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to the God, God the Father, continually. Or you could translate that the word always. Now, let's put this together. It's talking about the idea it should be habitual. Now, if you'll remember, we're supposed to give thanks for all things, and we're supposed to give thanks in all things. Also, God seeks worshipers. Now, we have praise that is something that is supposed to happen a lot of the time. So I'm going to submit to you draw your own conclusion, based on Scripture, the preponderance of evidence indicates that the majority of our communication to the Father should be thanksgiving, worship, and praise, and none of which require an answer. Now, when most people think of praying, they think about asking God for something. Now, what we're showing you from Scripture is that the majority and the emphasis is not on asking and getting something. The majority of communication to God is just telling Him who He is, thanking Him for who He is, thanking Him for what He's done in our life, and that would be the adoration, worship, thanksgiving, and now we have praise. Most communication, and I would not put a percentage, but I'm in my head thinking 80-90% should be having to do with these kinds of communication. So always means that that's as refining as thanks in and for all things. You have thanks for in Ephesians 5 and in 1 Thessalonians 5. Or it might be in and for might be switching up. But the point is that that praise is something that should be at the tip of our tongue, as it were, a habitual thing. Now, which brings us in why we're in Hebrews 13 chapter and 15 verse. It says that it's the sacrifice of the praise, and then it goes on to say that it's the fruit or the product of our lips. So praise, then, one of the ways, one of the modes that praise is given to the Father is by articulating. Now, you know, if you've been in listening in terms of communication, articulation to the Father can be verbal, particularly when we're around other people. Remember over in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to get there. 1 Corinthians, it talks about when we give thanksgiving in a public setting, it should be edifying. That's in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So when we give, when somebody leads in prayer and it has praise in it, it should be edifying. It should be something that you think along with that person, and then you are, in fact, praising. And it should be on a regular basis. So it can be verbal, but if you've been following along, God is knows all. He's omniscient, and God can read your mind, so you don't have to articulate it with your lips. Here it's talking about saying it out loud, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And so there's two ways of doing it. Now, if you go back to Philippians, the first chapter, the 11th verse, we didn't stress it while we were there, but we'll do it now. This praise can also be part of a lifestyle. When a Christian is adhering to the fundamentals of maturity and living a spiritual life, that in itself indicates a reverence and a thanks to God. And I'm going to tie these together with two other verses in just a minute. So I'm in Philippians 1, verse 11. Being made up what is lacking with the fruit, singular fruit, consisting of righteousness. Righteousness is a fancy, long word, polysyllabic word, meaning to act right. Which are through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise regarding God. So here, now in Hebrews 13:15, it was the praise with the fruit of the lips. But here, obviously, we are praising God when we live a Christian life. We're that just the fact that we're living it. Now, the reason for that, if you'll turn back to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, is remember that these ing words in verses 20 and 21 of the fifth chapter are the results of spirit filling. They are the results of a divine enabling. The kind of thanksgiving that God the Father wants us to have is divinely enabled. We can't just muster it up on our own. So when we get to verse 19, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. So the four is here and the end is over in 1 Thessalonians 5. In all things. When we're giving thanks for all things, this means even when things are sour, even when things aren't working out, even when things go wrong, we can have a divine enabling to give thanks for that. So what we're saying is that thanksgiving is part of praise. I cannot be thankful the way God wants us to be thankful without divine enabling. I'm getting off the sit a little bit, but let's turn over to the second chapter of the book of Colossians. I've had a lot of people ask me over the years, how do you judge maturity? How do you know if you're spiritual at any point in time? Well, you know when you're not, when the Holy Spirit's grieving. But you know that you're emanating things of the Spirit, because part of that peace, part of that joy, which is a facet of the fruit from the Spirit, will be activated. Ephesians, the 5th chapter in the 20th verse, in thanksgiving. In other words, when I have peace and joy as a divine enabling, then I as a human am going to be thankful. And we see that if I am thankful in, for, and by all things, then that thanks is a divine result of a divine enabling, and that gives me a clue so I can self-assess that I am maturing spiritually. Verse 7, second chapter Colossians, being rooted and built up in Him. It's talking about position in Christ. And established in the faith as you have been taught. So it's based on teaching and it's based on the correct foundation. Now you can have a false thanksgiving where you go to an emotional situation and they maybe sing songs and they have uplifting illustrations and stories. One time I attended a Amway thing where they were trying to get everybody to sell Amway. And I'm telling you, those guys are so good, you could go in there with your lip dragging on the ground, so to speak, emotionally, and when they get done with you after an hour, ha ha, but it only lasts about 2 seconds when you go out and then try to sell that junk, and nobody will buy it, except you get all your family members to buy it, and they don't want it. Okay, I knew people that had closets full of it. That's how they sold it. Anyway, so what they're saying here is that this has to be based on the faith. It has to be based on correct teaching, and it'll last. So it's saying being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we seek the thanksgiving that's based on the right stuff, and it's long-lasting. It won't just... It's not the power of a... What do they call it? The power of self-realizing the terms escape me, but it's not on your own power. It's on God the Father's power. And so what we're saying is that this is where the concept of thanksgiving and praise kind of overlap, because thanksgiving is a part of praise. And eventually, God would want you to attribute your thanksgiving to some aspect of Him. And let's do it this way. Praise is a higher form of thanksgiving, because you're assigning it to part of the character of God, which is what He wants. If you want to know why I keep saying that's what He wants, you on your own read John, the 4th chapter, the 23rd and 24th verse. It doesn't say it's kind of nice when people worship God. It says God seeks it. So it's what He wants us to do, obviously. And if you'll turn then to Ephesians, the first chapter, we'll see some more about lifestyle. Now this is This is a very complicated section. I'm not going to get sidetracked, but it goes back before Genesis 1:1 and talks about how God planned who, God the Father planned who was going to be picked, and he picked those that are in Christ. And we come, now in this section, it's obviously that God didn't just pick us to be saved. We have many verses. I'm not going to get to them today because we want to get focused here. But there are many verses that say we weren't just saved so that we could sit in a corner, hum Swanee River, and just be saved. We were saved because, and we already read it in Hebrews 13:15, because he wants us to produce fruit in our life. That's in the 15th chapter of John. You're not part of the vine. No, you're not connected to the vine. You're not a branch connected to the vine just to be connected. You're supposed to produce fruit. And so in that context, in the sixth verse of Ephesians, to the praise regarding the glory of his God the Father's grace, wherein grace he hath graced us in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. In other words, in this context, he picked us because we are in Christ. And if in eternity past, there was no work me getting in Christ. That wasn't me. So there's no such thing as work salvation. Now, if you go down to the 12th verse, that we should be to the praise regarding his, God the Father's glory, the ones who trusted in Christ. So the very fact that we were saved is a praise to God. And that's... that's a very important thing. In verse 14, who, going back to the Holy Spirit, this is a very interesting grammatical thing. You have which in your King James. The first verse, the first word in verse 14 is masculine and goes back to the neuter noun Holy Spirit, meaning he's a person, not a thing. If it was a thing, it would be an it. But he's a person, so it's a he. He is the down payment of our inheritance up to the, or into the complete unloosing of the unique possession or personal possession under the praise regarding God the Father's glory. So we're, the very fact that we're possessed by the Father is, brings attribute, brings praise to him as that, and in this context, all the things he's done for us. Trust me, he did them all for us. We didn't earn any of them. Oh, that's what grace means. And in this context, that brings praise to the Father. So our lifestyle then, we can articulate it verbally. We can think praise, and he, and that pleases him. We'll get to that in just a second. Or our lifestyle brings praise to the Father. Now, if you'll turn back to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we want to pick up one other thing in that 15th verse. Actually, we want to pick up two things. The second thing, let's go ahead and pick that up in the last two words of the verse. Oh, no, let's go down to verse 16 that connects. I'm sorry. I'm in verse 15 of the 13th chapter. Okay, so it says, by him, Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise regarding God the Father continually, that it is the fruit of our lips confessing his name. But to do good and to communicate, this communicate doesn't mean verbally. It's talking about sharing comments. Talk about giving. Forget not, for with such sacrifices, so the sacrifices goes back to verse 15 and includes that, and it says God is well pleased. So we can say that grammatically, well pleased also modifies verse 15, meaning God is well pleased when we give him praise. Now, be careful. The Holy Spirit enables us to be thankful. When we as a person, human, take that thankfulness, well, he actually gives us peace and joy, and then we're thankful. And when we're thankful and we attribute it to a part of God, that makes God the Father happy. Why? Because now we're getting to see part of his manifold wisdom. We don't have it all. Through eternity future, we'll never have it all. But we get, and one of the things God wants to do is to explain or to show, be a better term, who he is. And the more Christians realize who he is, the better off we are, and that is something that makes him well pleased. Now, because of time, and I want to stop, I'm going to kind of stick to the clock a little bit here today, because I want to look at this part of the verse I've skipped so far. It says, a sacrifice of praise. One of the other things we know praise is one of the important communications is because it's called a sacrifice. Now, this has to do with our priestly ministry. It's interesting. When you get to the Old Testament, sacrifice meant blood. Blood here, blood there, blood everywhere. There's the red heifer, there's the goats, there's the sheep, there's the lamb. There's all kinds of sacrifices, which was blood in the Old Testament. When you get to Romans, the 12th chapter, and the second verse, or first verse, it's a living sacrifice, no blood. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ was enough. There's no need to be a blood sacrifice for sin or for any other thing other than there will be in the millennium. But he's the once and for all sacrifice for sin. Now, if you turn over to 1 Peter, the second chapter, as New Testament priests, we find that in the ninth verse that all Christians are priests. All Christians are priests. That's why we don't have to go to a human to confess. We can go directly to God the Father, each of us individually. That's a New Testament concept. Again, let me repeat and emphasize, you cannot go to the Old Testament to figure out how to communicate to God today, because it's different. Now, in the fifth verse of the second chapter of 1 Peter, we read, you are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. So this isn't a real house. This is a metaphor, an extended metaphor, if you will. And in this extended metaphor, each Christian is like a stone in the house. The foundation and the keystone are Jesus Christ himself. But why are we part of this spiritual house? Now, the spiritual house is going to be where God dwells. Keep going. Spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So now sacrifices are spiritual. In the Old Testament, they were physical. But we as priests still have sacrifices. So here's what we've shown you today. Praise is the divine enabling, comes from the divine enabling of peace, and we'll get into that in the morning services. Peace and joy. When you have peace and joy, you as a human can be thankful as a result of that divine enabling of peace and joy. When you are thankful, and then you attribute it to some aspect of the character of God, that is praise. That praise is a high, not they're all high forms of communication, but a kind of communication that we know pleases God, the Father, and we know it's called a spiritual sacrifice, which is a special kind of praise, or a special kind of communication to the Father. So praise then is a priestly function, and it pleases the Father. Now, am I saying that you should get out a stopwatch and say, okay, I prayed today, and 42 minutes of it was praise? No. But I think that we've shown you enough scripture that if you analyze your communication with the Father, that if you notice there's not much praise, that maybe you need to do a self-evaluation. Well, why not? And let me just say this in closing. Singing the song, praise him, doesn't make up for not communicating, okay? He wants direct communication around each of us individually. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we do have the privilege and direct access to you through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Amen.